Blog Talk Radio.
Alrighty. Hi, everybody. It's me and Di. Di probably is my thing is probably not going in and out or my speaking. Welcome to our Thursday. I'm tired.
What day is it?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Sunday. Our relationship show, we base it on a book. I mean, there's a law that says he has to be attracted to me. And that in itself is a funny story. And but Di and I are doing a show tonight on the three generations. There's the baby boomers, which is the age on that was World War II to 1954, I believe. And then there is Generation X, which is 1965 to about 1979. And then the Millennium X, the generation is 1980. 1981 going to about 2000. So which one are you, and what are some of the differences? And Di, I know that you've got children. I know you've got a grandchild. Di looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like about 25 or 30, easy. And
oh,
never
you
getting
are
weight.
So nice.
Yeah,
well, I
just tell me. Yeah, she never gains weight. She looks amazing. And she knows how to dress. She's got a lot of style. She can pass through any generation, but Di, what are some of the generation? I mean, you've got the children, you've got the grandchildren, you've got your daughter. You know, what are some of the things that are different, in your opinion, about the generation? Because I've had my own experience with them, you know, with doing the work that I do, and I know you too, as you do as well. But give us some of the differences in the generations that you've noticed right off the bat, because it's
oh my gosh,
you guys,
Oh, definitely. There's a huge difference in generations on several levels. Number one, the physical level, which you and I were talking about earlier, they've grown up knowing that they need to practice safe sex, and our generation didn't. And so, you know, the use of condoms, people in our generation, I think they feel embarrassed or awkward to ask a partner when it's their first time sleeping together if they are going to use protection or if they have protection, you know. And, with my daughter's generation, that was just, you know, no glove, no love. I mean, that's what they grew up hearing, you know.
Yeah, no glove, no love. Yeah,
Well, they grew up in the age with AIDS, you know. I mean, when we were in high school and we were contemplating sleeping with a boyfriend, the worst thing that we ever thought about was getting pregnant, you know. We didn't think about something that could eventually lead to death, you know. I mean, it was something that we worried about, you know, on a very surface level, when, you know, the nurses and people who give us the sex ed classes would talk about STDs, and they just, you know, we assumed, oh, if they had an STD, we would see it. You know, we would see oozing sores or something. And we didn't ever think about, you know, actually getting a disease that could really, you know, threaten our lives. And so our kids, my kids, grew up, you know, in the age of, you know, this could kill you, you know, if you could get something that could kill you. And so there was no hesitation, you know, there was no embarrassment about talking about it. So physical, that's the, you know, huge difference between generations. But also the dating is very different because, you know, we grew up in a generation where the men always pay. You know, when we go out, it was the men always picked up the tab, and if he didn't, he was a cheapskate. Where my daughter grew up, where she would, you know, they would split it. They would offer it. But it was difficult, like, for my daughter, when she would date guys who would take her up on splitting the bill all the time because her father didn't, you know. He always insisted on picking up the tab. And so she, even though she was in the newer generation, she loved the guys with that old-fashioned kind of, you know, chivalrous, you know, I want to, you know, take you out to dinner. And you know, after the first few dates, then it's like, then you start saying, okay, you don't want the guy to pay for everything all the time. But yet the first date or so, you know, it's tough. It was tough for my daughter when some guy was either wanting to split the tab or wanting her to pick up the tab, because she would just go home with this bad taste in her mouth, like, he's not a gentleman like my dad is. And so that was something very different in their generation, you know. And and boys that she dated, they had no idea. Because, you know, if their mom is saying, hey, you know, your date needs to split the tab with you, that's what they've grown up with. And so it didn't seem like anything wrong to them. So it's very different. And we always, you know, date men who are like our fathers. We really do. And we're attracted to men who are like our fathers. So if your father was that really old-fashioned, you open the car door and everything, then, yes, Don's over here saying a true gentleman, you know, then we, it's not that we expect that, but we really appreciate it when it comes along. And so there's definitely a lot of differences with dating with the generation. It's the emotional stuff. It's the, you know, the manners, you know, the chivalry, and but it's also the physical level. We grew up with, you know, they, our kids have grown up with different ground rules. Now, I shudder to think what my granddaughter will grow up in. I have no idea. I almost think that our kids are more conservative than we are, because I grew up really in the 70s, and it was kind of like the free-for-all, sex is free, you know, it was kind of that very loose generation.
You're a baby boomer.
You're
a baby boomer.
Yeah.
I'm a Generation X. And,
right,
know, and,
exactly.
And that kind of, but mm-hmm. let me explain something to you what I really feel. And what I read about is the baby boomers, you guys were like the World War II, I think, was when it started, and then 1964, whatever. And so
mm-hmm.
the baby boomers, they're different. They were raised to get married, to have children, and so on. The Generation X,
mm-hmm.
which I am,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were just getting introduced to technology, and it's all about, you know, finding our group, our part in the group. And the generation, the millennium generation, which is our daughters, you know, the kids now, they are really about themselves, loving anti-war, because that's my generation was the anti-war, you know, were you guys too as well, but the new generation, they don't believe in war, they want, you know, but they are all about themselves, sometimes to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
They're also technology, super immersed in technology. I mean, you know, my daughter, your daughter, and you're good at technology. I'm so bad at it, but that's this new generation. They really are.
It's the age of Aquarius. As far as astrology is concerned, Aquarius, the sign of Aquarius, is the very brainy, scientific sign. And the age of Aquarius, it really was where, you know, our culture was pushing the scientific frontier. You know, it was getting into technology, and it was all about me. And so now, the last year or 2 years ago, we changed over into the age of Pisces, which is a very softer sign. It's a loving sign. It's a compassionate sign. It's more about what's good for the whole will be good for the individual. And so I really look for this generation, like my granddaughter's generation, to be much more rather than on themselves, like we were, you know, and or my kids were.
Embracing the male,
more
female,
loving,
and that kind of. Yeah,
exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But that is what, astrologically, that is what it should look like, you know, if it goes really like the way the, you know, astrological signs are. But the age of Aquarius definitely matched that sign. It really did. And, you know, we were going into space, and we were, you know, trying to push the edge of science all the time. And it was just it's a brainy sign. And that's what, you know, is education. And so now it's going to be more back to, you know, loving your community and showing outward love and being kind and compassionate. So we'll see, I guess, what this next generation brings.
That's
I'm
true.
Sure it'll do better than we did.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you this too. And you and I did our book, and we interviewed a lot of people and a lot of it, because that's how it.
Did we lose you?
But let's talk about the differences with sexuality. I was talking to a friend
mm-hmm.
of mine. He's getting married, and he met his girlfriend, his fiance, online. And he goes, I'm going to tell you something about the 50-year-old woman. He goes, they are pretty desperate. And he said, because they see the trend leading to their room. He goes, he said, they see the train leaving, and this was the last, you know, the last of the Mohicans. And I was like, okay, I'm going to disagree with that a little bit, because to a point, I am. I said, I disagree with you. I said, what I see is 20-something-year-olds are about as desperate as the you know, any of them. And so he said, and he goes, well, they're waiting for that. They got to compromise themselves. I go, I disagree with that. Although he is right to a point, but I don't really think it's age specific. Although, and I'll share this with you, you know, I prefer dating younger men, and that's just my thing. And so what I notice about the 20-something-year-olds is they're just much more, 20-something, 30-something, they are much more fun, okay? They're like, let's go do this, let's go do that.
Sure.
Okay, and, you know, and then, you know, and they'll pay for things, right? But if you go in there expecting that, the 40-something-year-olds, what they do is they're all about the sex, right? And they don't really care about using protection. No glove, no love. But that's something that we teach ourselves and our children. And I'll give you an example of that, too, as well. I have a client, and she and her husband make over $600,000 a year, a lot of money, right? And her guy that she's with on the side got chlamydia, and she's got chlamydia. She got it from another guy who's in his 40s, late 40s, who passed it on to her. She's passed it on to her husband. Now, you know, what I love about the 20-something, 30-something-year-old people, early 40s maybe, they tend to talk about things more. Communication. It's all about, let's talk about it. Let's see what, you know, how do you feel? Which goals, which dreams are you, what kind of business goals you have, what kind of personal goals. I am not seeing that in the later in the baby boomers, not nearly as much as I'm seeing it Generation X, the millennium, and then your granddaughter, you know, who knows what they're gonna be like, but I'm a bet they're gonna be a lot like, you know, thinking outside the box. And and I've interviewed a lot, right? And I know you've had your own experience with that, with people you know who have had STDs. And so what is the cause of that? Is it because we don't talk about things and we, you know, and it's not all right to talk about sex like it is now? You know, I'm not sure. What's your thoughts on that?
Well,
because I've got a group of baby boomers who've got all these, you know, chlamydia. I mean, who does that, right?
And so, two people,
you know?
Right, two people I know that happened to. One was her husband, found out he was cheating because when she got an exam, then she got a tested positive for chlamydia, and she had never slept with anyone else. And so that's how she found out her husband was cheating. And then another woman found out her boyfriend was cheating and then found out that she had an STD. So it's like the trail is a double whammy. You know, it hurts on two levels. Number one, you've got the emotional pain, but then you've got the lasting reminder of the physical outcome, which was you got an STD. So it's like a double outrage then. And I know two different people that's happened to, and I'm sure there's probably a lot more. I know a man, you know, it's not just men who cheat, obviously. One of my good friends found out his wife was cheating because he got an STD. And, you know, they've been married for about 8 years, and he never had anything, and all of a sudden, boom. And so how did that happen, you know? She didn't just all of a sudden, you know, get show signs of it. So so cheating can hurt on many levels, and I think our generation, unfortunately, we didn't grow up, you know, with always insisting on protection with a new partner. And when you're in a monogamous relationship with one partner, and you decide to go outside of that relationship, you're playing Russian roulette with your partner's physical health. And that is so immoral. It's so wrong on every count. You know, it's not just the emotional betrayal, but you are risking their physical health. But for some reason, our generation, we don't think about that. You know, I mean, we think about, if they find out they're going to be hurt, but we don't stop and think, gee, I could get something, I could, you know, share it with them, and it may be a lifelong thing they have to contend with. So, I, you know, my daughter, of course, you know, she grew up in the age of, you know, Magic Johnson being on the television saying, I have AIDS. I had, you know, sex outside of my, you know, and so they were not afraid to talk about that. And that's a good thing because they've always practiced safe sex. And so I don't know, you know, what this next generation will do. Hopefully they don't go back to our bad ways, but
it's scary because the communication, it's like, and it's really what it's about, you know, talking. And I told my client, I was like, you really need to tell everybody. She goes, how can I do that? I said, everybody that's involved. I said, you got to tell them. And she goes, I can't. And I said, wow,
yeah.
You know, it's about education, right? And
right.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and she goes, what would you do? I said, what would I do? I would always, no glove, no love, right? That's, you know, and you and I talked about that when we were, you know, when we, Di and I are real open to those who are listening now and who will download it later. And it's just like, you've got to be so careful. And, mm-hmm. but this is just not the first time. I, you know, I talked to a group of women that got herpes, right? And they said 1 in 7 mm-hmm. people have herpes, genital right. herpes. And I was like, are you kidding me? And it was like, and she goes, yeah, I got genital herpes. And I said, she goes, I know how I got it. And she goes, but let me tell you something right now. She goes, I asked him if he'd ever been tested, and he said he had. And then she goes, and he didn't. So, you know, do you sleep with someone? You know, if you, how do you prevent that? I don't know. I that's a good question, because I have a real good friend of mine that got it from his wife. And, right. you know, and all that stuff. And he's in his 40s. And, you know, how do you prevent that? What do you do? It's about education. It's really about looking at yourself and saying, okay, I can't hide this under the carpet. I got to really address mm-hmm. who I am. And if you're sexually active and you're going through, because, you know, the baby boomers, some of the Generation X, they're going through their first or second marriage and they want the great love without putting in the great work. And it's work.
Right.
It's work to talk about stuff, you know. And so, you know, and I think the millennium generation, they, as I said, they are very self-love. All those things, making great money, all about technology, sometimes to a fault. And let me tell you something right now. I see more people in my own coaching business, you know, intuitive businesses, classes that are in their 30s, late 30s, 40s, and 50s that are sexually transmitted STDs, and that is mm-hmm. scary on so many levels. Because I read an article that they said that one of the rising populations is a 50-plus-year-old person getting an STD. I mean, those are the
right.
folks that are grandmas and aunts and uncles and great aunts. I don't know. It's just weird. So weird, you know.
Well, that's just because we haven't grown up with talking about it. I mean, that's the whole thing. And people, our generation, feel awkward talking about it. You know, we like to talk about love and passion and everything else, but we don't want to talk about the ugly side of it. You know, people feel awkward for our kids don't. You know, but then I mean, we were talking about what was the 3 C's? It was connection, communication, and what was and commitment.
Commitment, right.
And you cracked me up earlier today when we were talking to you. You said stalking is not a form of communication or connection.
Yeah, right?
And that's something that also this generation, you know, yeah, they may be talking about we need protection, but they're also stalking each other like hell on Facebook and everything else. You know, I mean, they live for social media and they're not communicating about important, I mean, not important stuff. You know, physical health is obviously important. But as far as having a face-to-face conversation about, you know, this is where I'm at, I want to date you or I don't want to date you, they don't do a lot of that anymore. They do everything via Facebook, you know. They dump each other on Facebook. They hook up on Facebook. And they do it all without, you know, face-to-face interaction, which to me is bizarre. But that's how they've also grown up, with everything is, you know, via the internet. Everything's technical. They don't have to sit down and have these interpersonal communications. So there's also a different kind of a connection as far as their oral communication with each other with this generation. Whereas with ours, you wouldn't dream of breaking up with somebody in writing. That is just like a Dear John letter. You know, you didn't do anything like that. That's the coward way out. And that seems to be kind of common now with the 20-somethings, you know, they break up
That's
on
true.
The internet.
they do. And I talked to somebody the other day.
They're
wusses, right?
Mm-hmm.
I go, do not talk to him on the texting. I go, don't do that. I said, you have a real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd had a real conversation, you wouldn't be here today. And because I and my dad never let us talk on the phone or text. He won't take my text if he needs to mm-hmm. tell me I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. You text me. see
right.
you, but if you want to talk to
phone.
Me, you talk to me.
Yeah.
He gets it. He said, pick up the
mm-hmm.
phone. And he goes, and I listened to him with that, and I honor that within myself, too. But so we discuss all these things, these social media, media talking about what we, you know, and, you know, sexually transmitted diseases, because this woman that got it, she's like giving, talking to him, and they're talking to each other about what each one gave to one another, whoever started it, and it's all done via text messaging. And being really mean
mm-hmm.
and nasty, and I was like, and that,
no,
you know, so
do
rubbing off
to look at them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, are you kidding? Right? You know what I mean? So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm gonna still go back. If you're a couple, sometimes it's good to have a spiritual practice that you do. Like, you know, in the article I just read, it was like somebody doing yoga. I think another one has a serenity prayer. It's terrible. You've got to read the serenity prayer that they do with each other. So, but they do. Yeah. It's, funny.
Don't
let
us kill each
other. Yeah, that's it. It's like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's not a jail. So, but, you know, social media, I think if we get back to the basics of, like, and I don't know if we can do that, okay, but if you honor it within yourself and what does the basics look like, you don't do the passive aggressive stalking stuff on Facebook. When you start looking
right.
at Facebook to check your mate out or to check your whoever out, that there is a problem. There really is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
And when you have to find out about your potential guy or girl via Facebook, man, that is not a form of communication. It's a form of being
no.
you. You know,
well, it's
awesome.
Just being scared. It's letting your fear control you. It's like, I'm going to hide behind the computer. You know, I'm not going to actually have a real conversation with the person. I'm just going to, you know, investigate them on social media. I mean, and people do that. And people are, you know, not as much as the younger ones do, but I definitely know people who, you know, hide behind their computer screen. And to me, that's just cowardice. It's you know, you're chicken. It's like you're chicken to have a real conversation with somebody, and you're letting your fear rule your social life. And that's no way to be, and you're not ever going to experience a real good connection if you guys, you know, if you're just talking to each other through the internet all the time. And I'm, you know, there's certainly the younger generation is not always on social media. I mean, my daughter and her husband, they dated just like I dated, you know, her dad. I mean, they got to know each other over coffee and everything, and dinner and you know, dinner and drinks or wherever they went. But
right.
they were not constantly communicating via text message and everything. And I think that's just the worst form of communication, because you
I do too.
Things look differently in writing than they're intended to. And I've had so many kind of miscommunications with people because what I wrote didn't come out the way I meant it, and they thought I was being, you know, bitchy, or what I was reading didn't come out, you know, to me the way it was intended. So text messaging, I think, is good to say, hey, I'm on my way home, you know, can you stop and pick up some meals or something like that? But it's not to have a real conversation. It's just cryptic and impersonal, and it's the inflection is never in the right place, you know? So I absolutely hate communicating via text.
I do too. I can't stand it. And the thing about it is that, so, you know, texting or whatever, sending photos about what you look like. I'm going to do a whole series of stuff on internet dating, man. Okay. So, what, you know, and guys, those who are listening now or download it later, sending pictures of your intimate private stuff does nothing for us. Zero. You know what I mean? And I get comments about that all the time, women, you know, but it's not the 20-something-year-olds that do it. It is the 40-something, 50-something-year-olds. I mean, I got a lady now, she's been on our show before. No, she hasn't. There's been a guest on here. No, she hasn't. Sorry. But she goes, she started internet dating, and the guy sent her a picture of, you know, of his penis, right? Who does that? I mean, we're not going to be into
well,
that, right?
If you're both doing it, I mean, that can be a form of, you know, foreplay, kind of. But if
right,
there's
but
not
if you don't know each other,
already,
yeah,
he's just sending her
yeah.
a picture of his penis, and that's not really a
no, I'm not talking about if you're in a relationship. Sorry, I need to clarify that, right?
That's
yeah,
me up.
Different.
And you know what? Men are definitely visual creatures. You know, if a man doesn't know a woman very well and she sends him a naked picture, men may, you know, men will pick up on that a little bit. Whereas women, we like the emotional stuff better. So if we are just getting to know a guy and all of a sudden we get a picture of his penis, that's not going to turn us on.
Oh, man.
That's why Playboy does a big booming business and Playgirl never really took off that well.
You know, they had great stories, right? I always read it for the stories. I'm just kidding. But
my mother's listening to this.
I like your mother.
Sorry, Mom.
Anyway, but it's so true, you know, and I had two stories, man, last week and this week, and they're both in their 40s and 50s. And the guy sending a picture of his penis, they'd never met before. And I was sitting there going, wow, I don't really hear stories about that with 20-something-year-olds, you know, or 30-something. It's always older women. And so I guess that, you know, they're figuring out how to use social media. Kudos to them. Funny.
Right.
But these women are like,
know,
I don't like
different
that.
Kinds of selfies.
That's funny. You know, our friend Bernie says, you know what they should do? Before they get, you need to send me a picture of this. Oh, let's see what it looks like. He says, if women did that to the men would be so terrified to send it, right? What if he doesn't like it? So it's funny, but. So, you know, selfies like that's not cool, but, you know, and also communicating through texting 20-something, 30-something-year-olds, and the 40, I mean, every age generation does it now. Not so good. But you know what? When you sit down have a drink with your guy like your daughter does, or you did with John, or, you know, I do.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever that event happens, I get a date. That'd be great.
Oh, you know, and it's funny because I've dated men, you know, my age, who just continually wanted to communicate via text. And I have to tell you, it makes my day when I get a text message from someone and I'm going into my text message screen and John's name is so far down the list that it's not even there. Because I know we don't communicate via text message. You know, it's like it's people I work with, it's girlfriends, or it's Susie sends me pictures of Wiley, you know. And it makes my day to see John's name is not at the top of my text messaging list. You know how it's always in order. And sometimes need to send him a text, I've got to go through like 2 screens worth of text messages to find him. And that absolutely delights me because I've had the opposite where, you know, guys, you'd call him and then send you straight to voicemail and then you'd get a text message from him about 20 seconds later. So, you know, they just did not want to have that conversation with, you know, they just wanted to send you the voicemail and then they're going to still answer you. But and it's not like they were busy. It was like Saturday afternoon. They could have answered the phone and you could have had a 30-second conversation and been done. And instead you're sitting there, I'm looking for my reading glasses, fucking type a message. That makes me crazy. Don't make me get the reading glasses. You know? Because I keep people on the phone long, you know. I usually am short and sweet. You can get me off the phone, you know. But
you can have
a 15-second conversation. Yeah. So I'm going to have to sit and type, you know, on this little teeny screen for 5 minutes to say a sentence, you know, that you could have just answered the question in 30 seconds. So that's really annoying to me.
Well, I agree with you. And by the way, those of you who are listening, Di always likes to hear a person's voice. I do as well to see what they sound like, right?
Yes.
I'm going to be, when she was single, that's been
part of the sexiness, right? Like, John
yes,
has a great voice.
Exactly.
I want to hear his voice. That makes me excited. It's where if I see, you know, I'm glad he can sell. It makes me happy when I get a text and I see he can sell. But that's not a turn on like his voice is. The men who text all the time don't understand. They're screwing themselves over a little bit there.
Right. I like to hear a guy laugh. If I can hear him laugh, I know that's nice. Or the voice. And you know, I'm with you on that. So, and we do radio, you guys. So those who are listening now, download it later. And it's important.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I did not care about texting. I was like, I want to hear what your voice sounds like because that's important to me.
Yeah.
And,
my
father taught me well. So anyway, well, we're about out of time, and I know you want to go watch your game, and thank you, as usual, for doing the show with me. I enjoyed doing it with
that
you so much.
Fun.
Yeah, so we know the differences. Pictures, naked pictures come to women in their 50s. That's so funny. I was like, who does that, right? And it's the 40- or 50-year-old men that do it, you know what I mean? And
that's
I'll tell you that. And then the sexting and the texting come from the younger generation, but the older generations are tuning into you, and you know, and that's becoming a form of communication. And man, you lose so much with that. You just do. Anyway, all right, you guys, take care. Have a great now, and we will. I'm going to be back on Tuesday with manifesting and making things happen and different techniques. And Di will be with me next Sunday, and then we're getting ready for the holiday. Are you guys in Colorado for the holiday, or what are you guys doing?
Oh, we are. Really, we look like the holidays right now. We got a white Thanksgiving as well, the white Christmas. It's been snowing and freezing cold all week, so it's definitely looking like the holidays up here.
Aw, how nice is that? Anyway, it's gotten chilly here. I'm wearing a jean jacket tonight. Anyway,
oh, wow, you're wearing a jean jacket. I had my Russian fur coat on when I came home. I had the big Russian coat because it was so cold out.
There you go. All right, my dear, take care. Have a great day. And I will see you. I'll talk to you, I'm sure, tomorrow or something. You guys enjoy the game. And all those of you who are listening, we appreciate you guys supporting us. But go buy our book at angelcoaches.org. Do You Mean There's a Law That Says She's Attracted to Me? I'm going to tell you, it's some great stuff in there. No texting allowed, right? And then that's it. You know, or you can go to Amazon and get it there too as well. All right, everybody, take care. And Gaia, I will speak to you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Okay, thanks. Have a good night. Bye.